We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
Yes, indeed. Here we go. We made it. It's the weekend, people. I am Matt Stark. This is the Friday, February 8th edition of the Gary Parish Show. GP today, sorry about that. I'll do my best. You can hit me up on the Twitter, the Matt Stark, if you want to chip in with a hot take or two over the next couple hours. Brad Carson across the glass, going to keep me on track.
No.
Mr. Carson.
What's going on, Mr. Patriot? I haven't seen you since your friggin' win.
It's all good.
And congratulations
see,
to
I'm
you.
I'm going to lose
the last I'm mentioning.
I'm going to lose the over-under. I wasn't going to mention the Patriots
today. I'm going to mention it once and we're going to be done with it because I'm ready for the AAF. Let's go Express.
I can't promise I won't talk about the Patriots
there you go.
At some point in 2 hours.
Okay.
But clearly we're focusing on the topic of the past 24 hours, which is the Grizzlies, the NBA trade deadline. You know what? It kind of feels like you emerged. I guess maybe this is the wrong analogy because I don't think I've ever emerged from a storm shelter after a big storm rolled through.
Yeah, a bomb goes off
but
and you're below ground.
Yeah, so it's not quite like that. But I've seen enough movies, I feel like that's what it's like. Yeah, here it comes. Yeah,
get in the
Everybody
shelter, get underground,
bunker
close
down,
the door.
Don't look at it. Everybody hang on.
Everybody here?
I think we're good. Fingers and toes?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, let's go see what's up.
Hey.
Oh, look at this out here. Yo.
Always bring drinks below ground.
No doubt
about
it.
In the shelter.
But that's kind of where we are. It's the aftermath of the NBA trade deadline, which may or may not have felt like a bomb going off, depending on your perspective. Helping us make sense of it all today, we got Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Covered the Memphis Tigers, of course. He has covered the Grizzlies, knows this town, knows it well. He will offer his thoughts on the Grizzlies trade moves. We'll hit four stories at 4:44.
He's a big NBA fan, too. He likes the Atlanta
Hawks.
Oh,
yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we'll talk to him.
Yeah.
4:44, we're going to talk a little Memphis Tigers. They dropped their third straight game last night. They are in serious danger of missing out on that first-round bye in the AAC tourney here in Memphis next month, which means they will likely need to win 4 games in 4 days.
Good luck.
If they have any hope at an NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. We'll talk about that at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins. I guess now, is he the mayor of the Shane Battier bandwagon?
Yeah, I asked him about this morning. I said, how did you come up with Shane Battier? He's like, he just was a good idea. And it made for a better column, honestly.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's gonna,
a good name.
It's going to get more clicks than if you say James Posey.
Yeah.
Or
even Tayshaun Prince. No disrespect to Tayshaun Prince.
No disrespect to Tayshaun, because he is actually in the organization.
Yeah, and then they keep retreading folks, so I think that's the idea, right?
I'm saying, you start going through like the roster, who played for him, why not go with Shane Battier, right?
Posey, that was a good throwback.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Stromile Swift, your new GM, here he is.
Posey was the big Skittle guy, right? He was into Skittles, that's why I remember Posey.
Been a while.
I was a Skittle guy till they got rid of the all-lime. That's a different story. So we'll talk to Jeffrey at 5 o'clock, and then depending on how things are going, Brad, we discussed this, we might throw open the phone lines. Your thoughts
treat
out
on
there
the Grizz
in Radioland on the state of the Grizz, your stomach for a lengthy rebuild, which is, I mean, that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming. But you'll get to see young players. If Chris Wallace could have said Jaren Jackson one more time in the press conference. Yeah, but we still have Jaren Jackson. And you might remember we drafted Jaren Jackson.
Let me tell you what, and I had this and I
By the way,
this
did you remember
earlier.
I drafted Jaren Jackson?
This is like what my mom used to tell me when we're having an argument, and I realize I'm losing my original point.
Right.
So then you go on the offensive and you find something that works for you.
Work the positive.
Right.
positive.
Right? So
yes.
That's exactly what he did today.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, so you trade away Marc Gasol and everything. You didn't get anything. You got Holiday. Yeah. You gave away two picks. You didn't get. Yeah, but Jaren Jackson. We got Jaren Jackson. Oh, hey, hang on, guys. Jaren Jackson's walking back in the back of the room.
Jaren. Well, he should have had Jaren speak on his own behalf.
It
was funny because you had the 10-minute beginning of presser tribute to the core four and Marc Gasol and retirement pitch. You had the I drafted Jaren Jackson pitch.
He should have just come out with Jaren Jackson standing behind him or something.
By the way, did you know that Marc Gasol went to Lausanne and he spent most of his life here in Memphis?
We did know that. And by the way, that led to us drafting Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, that also had something to do with it. Right?
I mean, that's where that one went. We will certainly.
It would have been better if you would have said, by the way, Mike Conley was one of them that told me I should bring Chandler Parsons here, and I also brought him to Memphis. Keeping it real didn't happen.
I don't think we got it, Chandler. Now, I wasn't privy to the entire press conference. I was just getting snippets.
I didn't hear Chandler brought up in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's one, like, you're not bringing that up.
No.
Somebody mentions,
that would be a negative.
Yeah, you're not doing that. But this is where we are. Day one, new era. Grit grind, I guess we've been going with that for a while. But I'm going with the PMG era, the post-Marc Gasol. That's where we are. It's going to take some time getting used to that, right?
It is.
Chris Wallace did talk with the media this afternoon to explain as best he could why the Grizzlies made the moves that they did, basically to defend them, which Jeff Calkins wrote about. He was there.
No.
I don't know if he tried to fire Wallace for, is it the third or fourth time, like fifth time?
He goes, I asked him about this.
That's got to be so awkward.
2 days ago, I said, what are we officially at? And he said, only twice.
Only twice?
Yeah, and I was like, isn't there been more than that? And it's sort of a hanging on firing. It's like an ongoing firing.
I feel like, the second time it just is hanging out there. So every time he writes about it, I feel like it's just kind of implied.
Yeah.
Like
we
he doesn't want to keep beating on the dead horse.
Well, and you know, to that point, it's something you and I talked about before the radio show today, which is if you watch this press conference, and we're going to play some audio from it here in a second, you can clearly tell Chris is nervous. You just can. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those press conferences you can tell he's been dreading.
He's defensive.
They're going to bring him up there, and he's just going to give the company line. It could be one of his last moments for this type of thing. It's just a tough deal for him.
And I think the spin on it, too, is it's not like they just made a trade where you're excited about what you got, right? That's going to be, by and large...
You're getting out of something.
That's, by and large, the tenor of it. Even think back to that ill-fated Jeff Green trade.
Yeah.
At the time, there were people that were excited about it. Everyone can go back now and be I hated it from the jump, and a lot of people did.
Yeah,
was also hey, he can help us. He can fill a need. Maybe he can be that guy that he was at times in Boston.
And I appreciate what Eric Hasseltine said before he left, which was, you forget that those first 10 games they won. Here's the thing. People forget that.
Of course. Because they're thinking big picture.
Nobody cares about those 10 games as soon as they lose the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way the world works now, especially now.
Chris trying to explain, and the biggest takeaway, of course, was other than mentioning Jaren Jackson.
Yes.
I wish someone, if they have enough time, and someone's got to have enough time, transcribe this thing, count how many times he said Jaren Jackson.
Oh, it was impressive.
Because I'll take the over.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing was that he said they want to win enough so that they can convey that first round pick to Boston, which everybody figured after all of the trades went down yesterday. Yes, that was clearly the takeaway, right?
Yes.
We're trying to get good enough, even though we got to move Mark because they're better with Mark than without Mark.
Yeah.
This is what we need to do.
We don't deal in the unspoken, unfortunately, because most people don't live on Twitter like a lot of the media nerds. So, this was the first time Chris did say that they want to convey the pick, essentially. We had not heard that.
And, in fact, let's listen to it right now. This is Chris Wallace explaining what the goal is going forward.
It is to win the rest of the season. We wanted to get back to our winning ways. And our young players, the Jaren Jacksons, Ivan Rabs, we want them to taste winning and see what that's all about. And then we have a real strategic reason to win because we'd like to convey this pick to Boston this year and get that in our rearview mirror and then move forward with a clean slate of first-round picks. So it's very clear what we want to do for the rest of this season. Going forward behind that, we have flexibility now, and we're able to sit back and see what happens in off-season, where the draft takes us. Are we in it? Are we out? Free agency, and then we'll evaluate what's our best course of options going forward. And we get in,
and they get into the offseason.
Also, super awkward has got to be as you're having all these discussions about moving forward in the future, and we're excited. Like, he knows he's not going to be a part of this moving forward, which to me makes it even more awkward. as you're explaining what they're trying to do. And, yeah, clean slate, move forward. You've got options, which they didn't have because of the moves at the Grizzlies and Chris Wallace. And I'm not trying to pile on and say it's
all press conference.
Right? But he's the one there talking.
Right.
So then he was asked if any of yesterday's move were basically act one. Were they setting up the Grizzlies for what could come this summer? Here's what Chris had to say.
Well, I mean, I can't tell you what the team will look like next year, Jarvis. I mean, there's so many places we got to go first. I mean, the rest of the season. You know, are we in the draft? Are we not in the draft? You know, what is free agency? And trading, where does it bring us? I mean, you know, do we do anything with this trade exception? So I can't say that right now, but I'm very excited about our future, and I think our fans should be as well. I mean, let's start with Jaren Jackson.
Bing.
One of the elite young players in the league. His future is, you know, so immense. And that's a great place to start. And right now we've got Mike Conley going forward, you know, who's an elite point guard in the NBA. You see what Ivan Rabb's been doing. Dylan Brooks will be out the rest of this year, but he showed NBA potential.
Yeah, okay, that doesn't do me any good. He's out.
And then also, what are we going to be able to do with these new guys and what other opportunities arise in offseason? So,
to unload them all and use their cap space. I mean, right?
And we're going to see if Avery Bradley's actually the player we want to keep.
Yeah, that
was the end of it, essentially. I'm sorry for the buffering.
No, that's all right. And when asked about the trade specifically that sent Jamichael Green and Garrett Temple to the Clippers for Avery Bradley, apparently he just talked about those two players first, didn't really get into Avery. However, as we mentioned, the smart thing that Chris did, he repeatedly pointed to something that worked, i.e., I drafted Jaren Jackson.
I did that.
Don't dwell on the part of the argument or the discussion that you don't want to talk about.
Right.
Focus and switch the conversation to a place where you want to live. John Calipari, one of the best at this, right?
Yeah, perfect.
You ask him something that he doesn't want to discuss. Yeah. He's not going to discuss
a bird.
It. Exactly. There's nothing behind the curtain. Look what's in my hand.
Yeah, look over here.
It's like the Old Spice commercial. Look at your man. Now back to me. Now look at your man. Now look at me. Something like that. Anything to keep you from focusing on what you're actually talking about is the fact that you traded all this, and really we don't have a lot that's going to excite anybody, but we do have Jaren Jackson.
Yeah.
Now, Chris was specifically asked, okay, so, you know, it doesn't sound like we really got any assets to build around Jaren for the future. What can you say to that?
It's very difficult to find Jaren Jacksons. The rest of the NBA is running around trying to get players like that, set themselves up for the future. We have one right here now that is just blossoming in front of our eyes.
You mentioned
Pardon. It's coming. Maybe. Oh, you stupid computer.
That's okay.
That was it. Yeah, that was the clip.
So basically what he had said when asked about not getting those assets.
Here we go. Let me continue with the clip. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Team. It's not around young players.
There it is.
You need a variety of age groups. I mean, like, take example. Kyle Anderson, I call a young vet. He's in his mid-20s, but he's no longer a fledgling NBA player. So
you get the essence of it.
I do.
He goes through the lineup.
He talked about the variety, yes. He talked about the type of players that they need around him, that they needed shooters to get more athletic, and that will take place as the years go by. And then he compared it to being like a roster as a pitching rotation. You don't want all righties. You want all fireballers. You want some lefties mixed in.
Which, you have the pitching analogy.
Yeah,
we'll go
a little baseball in there. Yeah. Everybody loves baseball, American apple pie, and Jaren Jackson, people.
Yeah, there you go.
I mentioned Jaren Jackson.
I drafted him.
In the last 15 seconds. But, yes, and he talked about, you know, Jaren Jackson blossoming in front of our eyes. Again, downplaying the mistakes. But the question kind of remains, though. So he didn't talk about how, and Chris Harrington mentioned this or wrote about this today in the Daily Memphian, how you ended up giving away more draft picks this season than picks that you've received, 3-2, via the trades. And while no one is arguing about how great Jaren Jackson appears to be, right, we love it, particularly what he's done these last two games. Like, sign me up for more of that. I love it. The question is, how do you make sure you're not wasting his years here,
right,
like our friends in New Orleans who are dealing with that with Anthony Davis, who drafted this unique unicorn, and he's been great, and they've tried to put pieces around him, and it hasn't worked, and now what happens? He wants the hell out of there.
Does that make you nervous?
Yes, it makes me nervous, because history repeats itself over and over and over, and when you're in the situation in Memphis is, as a small market team in this league, and you wind up with, we'll keep calling him the unicorn, you wind up with a talent like Jaren Jackson, then, like, you don't have all this time to build around him. So, I mean, what do you see for this? And I did want to get to some Mike stuff, and maybe we can get to that later.
I get it. Yeah, I got it here.
But we can do it now.
I'll try.
But like, where is this team going? So they're going to try and play out this year. The goal is to win. They want to convey the pick. Okay, he didn't get in anything about what happens next year. Next year's got to be Tankapalooza, does it not? And probably the year after that. You've got to start now compiling talent. How are you going to do that? You're going to lose.
They're not going to be good, I think, is the basic premise of it. Here's the challenge. Like, this year you were going to be good. And
you thought you were going to be good.
You felt good about what you had.
Yes.
And it didn't work.
Right.
And that's why we're where we're at.
And to a point, like, you can't blame them for going that route, I don't think.
No.
Now, there are people be like, hey, I'd rather be a year ahead of the curve than a year behind it. And there's something to that. There's teams and there's organizations that do that, that are ruthless. One of my teams does that, the Patriots, Bill Belichick. He doesn't let you have old-timers day. You're out the door when he thinks that he can flip you. So maybe you can make the case of, oh, they should have flipped Mark. But what he's meant to this franchise, I think there was, and we talked about this last year when they're middle of Tankapalooza. Hey, man, we'll get Mark and Mike healthy together. Mm-hmm. Okay, they've proven they can win. We're going to put Jaren Jackson in with them and then put these pieces that we all liked, Garrett Anderson,
Kyle Anderson.
You're putting some pieces around them, and hey, let's see what we got. And unfortunately, it started out nice, and then it fell apart.
So they had to then
reevaluate and readjust on the fly.
Well, and the two things that really have worked out, I think, or didn't work out, is the grit and grind thing didn't work. Can we say that?
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Yeah, the reboot
like
of it.
You've got to put the ball in the hole from the three-point arc. We saw it last night.
Yeah.
And I realized they were playing eight dudes, and it was the second half where they sputtered.
Sure.
But like, it doesn't matter how well you can guard now. It seems like if you've got guys that are just sharpshooters that are all over the court, some of them are 7 feet, and they can stretch it. Even Jaren does that.
Yeah.
Bing, bing, bing.
I think when you look in hindsight, that is a glaring miscalculation
the
on their part.
The double down.
Now, part of that is— okay, well, we couldn't get the guys to do it that way that we wanted to. So we're going to keep embracing the defense.
So you have to do it
Devin
this way.
Devin Carter, we're bulldogging it up. This is what we're going to do. We're going to zig when the rest of the league zagged.
Yep.
All right, well, the rest of the league zagged, and they're beating your ass.
No, you've got to figure out a way to spend the money. Unfortunately, here's the other thing. Like, if Parsons was healthy, let's say that Parsons was everything we dreamed of. I don't even think we're in this scenario. I really don't. Like, because think about it. You'd have a starting wing /4 who could shoot.
Yeah.
And in this scenario, he's healthy. That changes everything.
Sure.
Because then think about it. If Chandler is everything you want, starting four, he's healthy at that point, can shoot the ball, averages 15 to 20 points a game. You've got Jaren, you've got Mark.
Well, you wouldn't have Jaren because you wouldn't have tanked because you would have had Parsons lighten it up. You know what I mean?
Good point, sir. See, I mean, it's even that road doesn't work perfectly. I mean, you bring up a good point. And if you're in a market like Memphis, you're screwed because you can't find enough people to pay max contracts.
Yes.
That's why Mike Conley and Mark end up with the dough they got.
And look at that's the way that the NBA is right now. Look at New Orleans.
Right.
They've tried to put pieces around Davis.
Or draft perfectly.
And now he wants to beat feet.
Yeah. Or you draft perfectly like Oklahoma City seems to have.
True.
You know?
But then still, they lost Durant.
Yeah, but you got to be able to get
Westbrook.
But your
then you
asset,
get Paul George.
You have to be able to draft damn near perfectly in these small markets because that's the only way you can acquire an asset that's either tradable or is a contract that's workable or you've got a piece.
Not much margin for error.
Right.
No doubt about that. All right. And I do want to circle back, and we'll do that a little bit maybe after we talk to Dan or later on in the hour about Mike Conley because this was the first time we got to hear from him. And he talked about the stress and the unknown that he's been going through for the better part of, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And while we all can't relate what it's like to have a paycheck like Mike Conley, we can all relate to stress of a work environment and a potential move coming up, whether at the firing or a contract buyer or whatever. Everybody's been through that, and everyone can relate to that. And, again, he gets paid very well to do what he does. But it doesn't make him any less human than you, me, or the guy down the street that's trying to make bills work, right?
He talked
about the impact of that. And growing up in Memphis, this has been the only team he'd ever known. And then he watches, by all accounts, I guess, his best friend on the team, which would be Mark, getting shipped off after 12 years. And Mike discussed that. And again, we'll try to get that later.
Let me see if I can.
And they said next to him, okay, so it was the Mike. And these sound bites, by the way, coming from our friends at Grizzly Bear Blues. They're on Twitter at SBN Grizzlies. And of course, that's grizzlybearblues.com. But it's the Mike Conley speaking today sound bite.
For that 2 o'clock deadline?
It was different, it's stressful just not knowing You know, I think everybody can relate to, you know, being kind of fearful of the unknown and not knowing what's going, you know, what's around the corner. So that's kind of like the feeling I was going through. I'm sure everybody on our team was kind of feeling that yesterday. So, you know, to get through it and to be here today is, you know, it's a blessing.
You had there's all kind of memes out there of you and Mark. And
this is where he's asked about Mark, and this is where he explains that aspect of the trade.
When it actually happened, and, you know, you got the word that he was actually on his way to Toronto.
It's Jarvis' career on the question.
Shouts to Jarvis.
MC5.
It was hard. You know, it was hard to, you know, kind of figured it was going to happen, and then to see him, you know, text me and say, hey, man, it's a done deal. I'm headed out, and it's like, still didn't hit me until you get to the arena and you don't see him. I mean, we've sat next to each other in the locker room for 12 years and, you know, wow, on the road, and we sit next to each other on the plane. So this is a vacant position right there, and this it's really, you know, it's just not normal. You know, it's just it's tough, and we're gonna miss him a lot, and we understand the way the business works, and that it was time, but definitely gonna miss him.
Yep.
Mike was also asked about, you know, the here and now, and talked about the role of, hey, the goal's to win. My role here is gonna change a little bit. We want to make a run, but I got to get these new guys acclimated. And obviously, there's a whole lot of them. It's not just like Holiday coming in about a month ago, and you're like, okay, maybe it takes him a week or two to get going. You've got an entirely new team now to get everybody on the same page. Guys that are gonna play big minutes, and oh, by the way, get them to gel up because we got to win. That's our stated goal. And again, they were also, somebody talked to him a little bit about, man, you got to be mentally exhausted. You know, you don't, are you, this, these questions are going to come up again for you this summer. And he sounded exhausted. He's just,
yeah,
he said he didn't want to think about what was coming in the summer. He knows he's the biggest chip that they have, of course, but didn't even want to begin discussing that today. And really, who can blame him? We have more Grizzlies trade deadline reaction from our man Dan Wolkin from USA Today when we return.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Moving along through this Friday, and it is Friday, which means we'll be joined by Dan Wolkin, national columnist for USA Today, because he joins Gary every Friday. He joins us now. Let's make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Dan, Matt Stark in Memphis, thanks for making time for us today. All Brad told me was that you're in a bar and you're in Europe. So you've got to be doing better than 98% of our listening audience.
The European theme music here, Dan.
I'm doing okay. You know, it's been a long run from last, I'd say, May to the Super Bowl. So I deserved a little time off.
Absolutely.
And getting and when I get away, I get away. I'll put it that way.
Were you pleased? I know Brad doesn't want to be talking about the Super Bowl for obvious reasons, because of my vested interest in one of the teams that competed and then won it. Were you pleased with how your city held up under the crush of Super Bowl week?
You know what? I didn't hear one single complaint about anything at the Super Bowl, which is like never happens. All the parties were good. I think people liked that everything was downtown and close together. They didn't have to ride buses for hours on end to get to wherever they were going. It was a very efficient, I think, well-run, no major snafus, no weather issues. So I actually think everybody had a great time. Like, I think people very much approved of Atlanta as a Super Bowl host, which was surprising.
Now, going forward, based on the result, I will have a very favorable opinion of Atlanta moving forward. All right, so once upon a time, you were the Memphis Tiger beat writer. Let's talk about what's going on with Penny Hardaway's club. They've dropped their third straight. We're learning a little bit about Penny as we go along now. So obviously the roster is what it is. He did the best that he could in the time that he got there, landing players like Tyler Harris, Alex Lomax, etc. But what we're learning about Penny a little bit is that he's not afraid to speak his mind. We've found that out this season. He lets us know, right, what he's thinking. It's not coach speak. He doesn't do that. And specifically, in the midst of this losing streak, I guess we'll call it a losing streak. It is three games. I don't want to say that he's throwing his players under the bus because he's not doing that, but he has let us know that, yo, you know, the game plans, they're good. My guys are prepared sometimes, and these are his words. They just go crazy. What do you think that Penny is learning 3 months into this job?
So the thing about coaching college, anything, football, basketball, whatever sport, is that your livelihood, the way people talk about you, the way people think about how good you are as a coach, depends on college students. And college students, people who are between the ages of 18 and 21, are probably the most unreliable people in the entire world. So right off the bat, you have a problem. Okay. Now, if I were Penny, I would probably cut out some of the stuff about talking about how good the game plan is and how prepared they were and how we talked about this and that. I would probably not do that if I were him. I understand why he's saying it and why he thinks it and where he's coming from, but I just think generally it's probably best to avoid all that kind of talk. But I do appreciate how sort of unfiltered he is. He doesn't do the coach speak thing. He doesn't kind of engage in conversation the way most coaches do about the way their team's performing. And I think that is refreshing, and it's probably a good thing overall. But I do think that when you got young guys, you want to try to take as much of the responsibility as you can while understanding you can say all the right things. You can do all the right things in practice. You can prepare the right way. But the bottom line with that job is that the kids who you coach have to do it. And whether or not you're good as a coach doesn't depend on how well you prepared them or what you did in practice. It depends on how well they do it, how well they translate what you told them. So he's got to understand that. He's got to own that. And as we go along, it'll be interesting to see how he adjusts when it doesn't go the right way.
You feel that some of this may stem from what was the biggest question when he took the job. Wasn't can Penny recruit? It was, can Penny coach, right? Can he make adjustments? All we'd had to base it on is, you know, what he did at East High School and on AAU. So do you think some of his, the way that he discusses game plans or whatever, stems from that? That he wants us to know that, like, he knows what he's doing?
Well, if that's his impulse, I think that's probably the wrong impulse because everyone's going to give him the benefit of the doubt for a couple years. I don't think anyone is going to criticize him based on what the team's doing this year or what it does next year. Now, I have not watched Memphis basketball all that much this year. I've seen them a couple times. I do think that the way they play lends itself to people who want to say that they don't look very well coached. But I also understand they're young and there are guys who are going to kind of go out there and freelance or panic or do whatever they want to do. But I don't think he needs to be in the business of telling people or trying to explain to people how smart he is or how much he knows about basketball, because ultimately it all comes out in what the record is, what the results are. And, you know, right now the results are not great, but I also don't think the players are that great. So if he gets the kind of players he's getting, we'll find out in the next 2 years whether or not he's cut out for this, but I don't think he needs to explain it to us.
Talking with Dan Wolkin, national columnist for USA Today, who is joining us from a bar somewhere in Europe. So yesterday, or I don't know what to stay with the timeline, if it's 2 days ago for you in Europe, I'm bad at all that math. Wild day with the NBA trade deadline, and clearly here in Memphis there was a shakeup, most notably Mark Gasol going to Toronto, Grizzlies getting some pieces, two of which hope they will be able to help this year, and then they get a second-round pick. Kind of seems like, yeah, that kind of trade. No one's that excited about the return, but the deal at some point, some deal with Mark had to be done. Do you agree with that, and what did you think of the trade and the return?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it had to be done when you leak out of your organization that it's time to move on from those guys. But look, with Marc Gasol, I think it's difficult to find a great trade for him. I do sympathize with their front office trying to get a great return because you are talking about someone who is at the end of his career. I mean, Mark's like 34 years old. He can help a team. I think he'll help Toronto. But he's also not really going to be a long-term asset for whoever trades for him. So everyone who would be interested in him is going to be hesitant about giving up future assets that are valuable. And I totally understand that. I think it's hard to make trades in the NBA, period. I think when you have players that are good but are older, it's hard to execute great return given how much they tend to make. And I just think that the Grizzlies are in a situation where they need to tear it all down. They need to rebuild. They need to move on from Gasol. They need to move on from Conley. They need to go to the bottom, and they need to figure out what their strategy is going to be. But I think the problem is, how are you going to do it with the front office that seems to be probably on the way out? I mean, is Chris Wallace really coming back next year? If he is, I think that's a major problem for them because he's had enough of an opportunity to put a strategy together. It hasn't worked, and now they need to go figure out what they're going to do. And just like in Atlanta, they brought in Travis Schlenk from Golden State. They said, we're going to tear it down. We're going to have a model. We're going to have a plan. We're going to have a blueprint, and we're going to follow it, and we're not going to kind of go off on these tangents. And that's exactly what they've done, and now they've got a core of kids that people who watch the NBA think is pretty promising. And they're excited about, and they're going to add more to it because they got all these assets that they've acquired. And but they're going to be patient with it. And I just don't think if you're Memphis, you can do it with Chris Wallace, who's been there in this kind of win now mode for a long time, and suddenly have him transition to a rebuild. I just don't think that works at all.
I think everybody seems to think that he's basically dead man walking, but I guess we don't really know what Robert Parr is thinking because we don't get to talk to him all that much, aside from Jeff Calkins when he was here the last time in town. And one of the reasons that Chris was kept on was that Robert talked about being comfortable with him and being comfortable with J.B. Bickerstaff, that they're both known. And honestly, that was the one part of that interview that really made me cringe. And this is before everything really kind of fell apart, or maybe in the midst of it. And I was thinking, man, that's not the way that – granted, I'm no billionaire, and I'm not as smart as Robert Parr, but that's not the way I would run a business based on my relationship with people when the bottom line of this one is winning. So the question is then, do you think that they helped themselves in Chris Wallace's goal, which he said today was to be able to win this season enough that they can convey this pick to Boston and finally get out from under with that Jeff Green pick hanging over their heads?
Well, I think everything in the NBA with the picks situation is kind of in flux because – of how flat the lottery odds are. I don't think the general public sort of realizes right now how different this lottery is set up than what it's been in years past. This year, you could be 0-82. You can win no games this entire year.
Yeah.
And you know what your chances are of getting Zion Williamson are? 14%. 14% is not great odds.
Nope,
right?
No.
And it's the same if you have the worst record, the second worst record, the third worst record. If you have the fourth worst record, you know what your odds are of getting Zion Williamson? About 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just not a whole lot of difference this year between all the teams that are going to miss the playoffs and getting into that not only number one pick, but the top four. So, I mean, if you're the Grizzlies, you know, you could be good, you could be bad, whatever it is the rest of the year. You know, you're going to have maybe a 7% or so chance to get into the top five.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great odds. Or I'm sorry, a 7% chance to get Zion Williamson. You may have about a 1 in 5 chance of getting into the top five, or I'm sorry, the top four. Or you may not. I mean, it's just trying to project it out, I just think, is kind of a fool's errand because the odds are so low, they're so spread out. You know, they may end up picking fifth. And is that good? Is that bad? Does that fulfill the goals they want to fulfill? I mean, who knows? But I just think trying to plan to be good enough to convey that pick to Boston when, frankly, you're just not very good,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how that's a good strategy.
Listen, you're a good man. Enjoy your holiday. Have a nice, tall, cold one for Brad and myself. And you'll be back, I guess, next Friday. GP will have you on. Appreciate your time, Dan.
I'll have several cold ones. Thank you.
Excellent. Enjoy it,
Even
man.
Better.
Yep. Thanks,
it's our man, Dan
Wolkin,
national columnist for USA Today. And to a point that he brought up that we didn't get to.
That's cool of him to come on, by the way.
Oh, yeah, great of him. Vacation, always enjoy talking to Dan.
Yep.
He talked about the draft and, you know, so what if you get in the top five? What was interesting in Chris Wallace's comments today, I don't want to say he dumped on the draft, but he talked about the fact that it wasn't particularly deep and that if this was going to be a year to convey it, this would be the year to do it. So that's awkward if you're not able to convey that pick and suddenly you're picking, let's say, sixth or seventh. And now you've got to be like, hey, we really like this Brad Carson kid. He's lanky. He's lean. You know, like,
well, here's the other problem. Like, we tried to win before and we couldn't get her done.
Yeah.
Like, yo. I remember this we need to win enough to convey the pick. It's called the beginning of the season, you know? Whether you're conveying it and you're in the 20s or not conveying it in the 20s, or you're conveying it and you're the 10,
you
know? Like, we're going to be right up against it here, so we're actually going to have to try to win enough games not to be in the lottery. But having said that, I do think in watching college basketball over the last few, it's deep enough where you can go at least three deep if you're thinking that it's Zion, R.J. Barrett. I know you want Zion, but you get R.J. Barrett, or you get that kid at Murray State, the Ja, or one of these other guys.
You can talk yourself into anybody, I think.
Sure.
You know, if they wind up with, again.
I did it with Jaren Jackson because I didn't know he would be this.
Same.
Like, I had no clue, so shouts to y'all.
I was all about Luka, and then I was not feeling the Jaren Jackson thing at all. In fact, I hosted the day after.
I remember it.
What do we think?
What do we think? And we're opening up the phones. Having said that, though, the draft experts said he was a strong fourth selection, so it's not like we should give a booby prize to the Grizzlies for selecting Jaren.
Right.
Like, yo, man, when you get in that position, you are supposed to nail it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Here's the thing that Dan mentioned, too. You don't think there's any way that Chris is coming back, do you?
It all depends if Robert Pera is aware enough of this market, because having been listening to this radio station for the last month and the callers.
I'm not advocating for firing people. I don't do that.
I want to be careful here, but I would suggest it's worth ticket sales to them having him here or not here. I mean, and I really like Chris. Like, Chris hosted the radio shows with here many times while he was in flux, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do like Chris personally. I must say that. Like, Chris is the best ever, and I can totally see why Robert Pera would be comfortable with him. In fact, one of the strongest skill sets of Chris is he seems approachable. He's good to talk to.
Yep.
I like Chris Wallace. Like, I love
never
Chris Wallace.
Never had a poor interaction with him.
Like,
never.
He is
always
the
had
best.
Time. Listen
so
to you,
I don't
you
want
whatever.
This for him personally, and I don't even have a dog in the hunt.
Right.
But I just listen to the radio station. So
The temperature of the fans.
And so it's all going to depend on if Robert Pera is aware enough of what's going on in the market and what he wants to do and what direction he wants to go to, you know?
Well, we'll find out from Jeff Calkins what he would do with Chris Wallace coming up at the top of the hour. When we come back, get into four stories, including more on those Memphis Tigers. Are they going to be able to pull out a top four seed? I don't know about that, which means they got to win four games in 4 days here in Memphis next month. We'll get into that when we come back. Matt Stark in for GP, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
Make me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross. She seemed to make me always feel like a boss. She said I'm in.
Took a little bit of a deep dive into Chris Wallace's press conference earlier today, explaining the Grizzlies' actions on NBA trade deadline day. And we'll revisit that with Jeff Calkins at the top of the hour and get a confirmation exactly how many times that he has in print fired Mr. Wallace.
He can give us the number.
Yeah. And find out how awkward that is every time he has to talk to him. That would be awkward. Yeah. Like, if I see somebody that, like, publicly was calling to fire me, like, over and over, I'd want to take a swing at that.
I actually think in the job requirements for that job, in fine print, try to have good relations with people who will tell other people live on radio stations that I should be fired.
Yeah, because that's true.
Listen, I have people that I talk to that have said that about me. So, I mean, it happens to even lowlifes who don't get paid.
This is true. Let's do four stories.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
All right, so I know we're giving Penny Hardaway a pass all year long, and no matter what happens on the court with the Memphis Tigers, but they're in a bit of a rut now. They have lost three straight, 4 of 5, yeah. And it is now more likely than not that they do not end up as a top four seed in the AAC tournament next month in Memphis, which will mean they'll need to win 4 games in 4 days. Yeah. Last night, they blew an 11-point second-half lead, fell to Cincinnati, 69-64. We are texting during the game saying this will be great if they win. Obviously, a lot to talk about, a lot of excitement, signature win.
That would have helped us a lot.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Instead, now they take the L. Jeremiah Martin was terrific, 26 points. He's been lights out the last couple games. Yep. Problem is, he's just not getting a ton of help up and down the lineup. Penny, after the game, alluding to the fact again that maybe they're just not tough enough, talking about mentally tough. And by that, he's clearly talking about his freshman, right?
Yeah.
Because he also said the 5 starters are going to start the rest of the year, which, you know, you don't need to be Nostradamus to realize he's sending a message to the young guys. That's Tyler Harris, Alex Lomax, Antoine Jones.
Yep.
Bottom line, though, you still need production from your starters, or, like, at some point, you got to throw the young guys out there. I don't know. So here's where they are. 13-10, 5-5 in the AAC, got 8 games left. If you don't mind, Brad, we will run through those final 8 games. We'll give a prediction on where they will wind up.
Let's go through them.
Home versus UConn on Sunday.
They get a win.
I'm giving the Tigers a win because they're at home, so I'm taking that as a W.
Yep.
They're at East Carolina. They already beat them. East Carolina's not good. I know the Tigers aren't good on the road. I think that's a win.
W.
So they've turned it around now. They won 2 in a row. Then they're at UCF. They killed UCF. I think probably payback's coming on the road. They're not as good as they looked in that win over UCF. So I'm going to say
L.
That's an L. That's an L. Tulane at home. They beat them. Tulane is winless
100%.
In the conference. Tigers with a win.
Got it.
At Wichita State. Memphis beat them way back on January 3rd.
Yeah, Wichita State's bad.
They're on the road, though. On the road for a team that is not mentally tough. Now, this is where our roads will part, then. You will give them a win.
That is a tough place to play, whatever it is, the Corn Center or whatever the hell they play in.
You're out there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's all they have to look forward to.
I think that's an L. I don't know that they're mentally strong enough yet. Now, maybe by the time that they've ripped off a couple wins, maybe they surprised UCF.
If they don't start off like they did the other day at South Florida, they will win the game.
You go down 27-1. All right, that's where we'll split.
We'll split, though.
I think that's a tough one.
You got an L there.
I think Tigers taking an L.
Take the L. That's fine. We'll give it an L.
Then it's Temple at home. That game in Philadelphia, Tigers were getting buried, made a huge comeback.
Temple is good.
They played the Owls tough, though, okay? Could have gone either way. They ended up losing by 10. Maybe that's one they steal at home. Mm. That's one you're going to need to be mentally tough because Temple is
7-3 in conference right now. They're 17-6. They'll lose that game.
I'm going with the win. I'm going positive Paul on that one. I'm thinking that one maybe they are able to gut out. That's a big win at home.
That's going to be a good game, I would imagine.
Yes.
Though.
So we're kind of split. We'll keep you with the win for Wichita. You'll take a loss for Temple, and
we'll
flip
it. We're still arrive at the same place here.
Okay. Yeah. Then you're at Cincinnati, and that's just not going to go well. That's not going to happen. Tulsa in the home finale. They got killed by Tulsa. This will be payback. Tigers going to win that one.
They win.
That puts them at 18-13, 10-8 in the AAC. Identical record in the conference to where they were last year. 10-8.
Not a surprise.
Not enough for a first-round AAC bye.
No.
But that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, and you know what? I some of the guys at the station have been, they're going to roll through the conference tournament just because they're playing at home. And
maybe. I'd like to see it.
But
I
got to
see something different than what I've seen these last couple games.
Here's the problem.
You got to have more guys that are helping. It can't be Jeremiah, you know, shooting 56% from 3. Because at some point, he's been terrific. He's going to cool off. He's not going to shoot 56% from 3 going forward.
The biggest problem is the side brackets. You've got a 1 and a 2 seed, and you're going to have to beat Houston and Cincinnati.
Oof.
I just don't see it.
Unless one of them get knocked off.
No, I don't see it. Because they're going to be on opposite. That's going to be the 1 and the 2.
Yep.
basically.
Yeah.
If it all pans out, because they're both 9-1 in the conference. They're 22 wins for Houston and 20 for Cincinnati. That Cincinnati team, like, they're a bunch of grown men, man. They are dogs. They gut it out.
What was his name? Drummond, the kid that scored all their buckets
Drummond
down the stretch.
Drummond is just a dog.
He did nothing.
Yeah.
I don't want to say did nothing, but he wasn't the impact player that he looked to be all game.
It is grit and grind at the college level, man. They just gut it out. And it looks the same every year. They look like they have 35-year-olds on roster. That Jared Cumberland guy
is who I'm talking about.
He's really good.
Yeah. He was big down the stretch, man. Made the big buckets.
It's a good team.
Yeah, it is.
It's a really good team. So it'll be interesting to see if they can make that happen.
Story number two.
All right, so a couple weeks ago, LeBron James caused some waves when he called himself the GOAT. That's greatest of all time in the NBA. He caught a lot of flack, deservedly so in my opinion, because you let others say it for you, don't you? Especially when it's up for debate. It's not like he's Tom Brady saying he's the GOAT. Everybody knows that he's the GOAT, all right? This is different. You've got to worry about Wilt Chamberlain. You got to worry about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You got to worry about, I'll throw Larry Bird in there. You got to worry about Michael Jordan, okay, specifically.
Yeah,
so
sure.
That one, not a slam dunk. Yesterday in Boston, though, so I'm not with LeBron on that. Yesterday in Boston, LeBron back on his boast game, declaring that the top teams in the East were making moves at the trade deadline simply because they finally had a chance to win the East this year because he was no longer in it. This is what he said. Top teams in the East, yeah, they're going for it. Toronto's going for it. Milwaukee's going for it. Philly, Boston believes they could do it. They know they ain't got to go through Cleveland anymore. Everybody in the East thinks they can get to the finals because they ain't got to go through me. This time, Bradley, I don't disagree.
Listen.
You can't disagree.
I'm glad you didn't disagree.
No,
because
you can't.
I actually thought that's where you were headed with it.
No, that's why I brought it up, because I knew that you were thinking I was going to zig, and I zag.
No, and here's the other people that know it. The teams that are in the East.
Yes. Hello. You can't argue it.
Including
the
Raptors.
His teams won the East for the last 8 years. The East went through Miami.
Yes.
And then it went through Cleveland, and nobody got past them.
Did you hear the interview Jeff had with the columnist from Toronto this morning?
I heard part of it. They talked about the drive and Jeff's crappy car.
Well, and the Toronto columnist basically said, yeah, and they're basically all in because they keep going to the Eastern Conference Finals or the semifinals and losing to LeBron. And they're like, this is the year where they can finally go all. You have to go all in.
And this is where we are. Yeah. Last team, by the way, to beat LeBron and stop him from getting the finals. You care to take a wager?
Who?
2010 Boston Celtics kid.
I hate you.
Story number three.
It's now wicked, wicked fun from Boston.
It is.
Jiminy Christmas.
All right, so this one I really enjoy because it's all about the petty, and it's about just messing with someone just to do it.
Oh, is this
and
the
I
Pelican? Pelican,
yes, come on, Pelican.
Yeah.
So this is the deal that didn't get done. Anthony Davis not going to Los Angeles despite all those stories and how he's spotted out and about dining with LeBron when they're out there.
Sure.
LeBron gets whacked, you know, basically a teeny tiny slap for tampering.
Yes.
And then there's all kinds of takes now about how the Pelicans did the Lakers dirty by airing out every trade offer that was made between the two clubs and then throwing out a couple that maybe weren't even made. Basically, and this is not like hyperbole, I think pretty much everyone on that Laker roster was at some point mentioned and being dangled in that trade.
So fantastic.
Which is amazing. Yeah. So now there's people wondering, okay, how is this going to affect the Pelicans going forward?
Yeah.
Is it going to have any effect on their ability to draw in free agents, deal with agents, deal with other general managers? And you know what? I don't care.
No.
I'm here for the petty. The NBA is all about the petty. The players go back and forth at each other all the time. If you're New Orleans and you realize what's going to happen is your hand is being forced regardless, they don't want Davis to leave no matter what. So the fact, if you have a chance to mess with the Lakers,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.